This is Notes from a Native Daughter, Voices from the Pan-American Experience, Raw and One-on-One.
I am Sol Daniela. I sit here with Monica Phoenix, a photographer, an artist, a free spirit, a woman of many interests, and a big heart. And I thank you for being here.
Aw, thank you. My God.
So let's talk about how you become a photographer.
My grandfather had a dark room. He had a passion for that. My dad was the school photographer. That's how he met my mom. The college photographer, I should say. I think one of my earliest memories of photography related was my parents handing me a camera at a party. And me just going around, just taking pictures, and those pictures are still at my house, and they're all from like an angle from below.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, so there was always a camera around. We were always being photographed. I was, as you can hear, my voice and my breathing. I'm an asthmatic, so I've always lived with that. And my parents early on, they couldn't take me out much, so. There was a lot of photo shoots in my house, so they dressed me up and they'd take pictures. Like I was like a sorceress and like a baby sorceress. It's like, you know, it was kind of like part of my life forever. So I went to the University of Puerto Rico. I have a BA in communications, and actually advertising and public relations, and I worked for 7 months at a advertising agency, and I think probably by the end of month one, I was kind of like, no, I can't do this. I mean, I could, because, you know, it's like, it's okay, but I was just not, I wasn't that person, you know? But yeah, definitely it was that moment. It was kind of like that final push. I had been doing it for at least before that. I had been at least doing it like consistently for the last 2 or 3 years, like just always photographing and doing projects and even video projects, like just everything that was like very, I look at those images and see those videos now and I get nostalgic even at the crappy images and like the crappy like quality of everything, of digital stuff and like my crazy negatives, like all that sort of like work. And then after that first month in that advertising agency, you know, it just became clear that I was just not gonna do this, and I started looking for programs to study, you know, photography officially. And that's how I came to New York for the first time to live.
And you did what?
I pursued it was actually a certificate program in photography.
Where?
At Pratt Institute. Yeah. Pratt Institute in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. I was there for a year, and I completed the certificate. And, you know, like, many people said, like, oh, are you going to get, like, a master's now? Like, what are you going to do? And no, I'm going to go work and be a photographer. So I did that. I started working, and my first job as a photographer was here at the Museum of Moving Image. I was, like, doing, like, a sort of, like, an internship job of photographing their collections. And that was actually a pretty neat kind of thing. I was super excited about that. And then that ended, and I decided to go back to Puerto Rico. And I worked there for a while. I worked there as a kind of like an all-around photographer, getting my hands on anything that I could lend, saying yes. The first job, the first gig that I got in Puerto Rico as a photographer was through a producer, Ilia Velez. She got me to document the Berlin Staatskapelle, an orchestra, and they were coming to Puerto Rico with this opera singer. So I was just like with them every day for like a week, just like documenting what they were doing. And that was really interesting. And then from there, I started working on film in the film industry. And I was really all around. So I was a locations photographer, casting photographer, a set photographer. So just
the gamut.
Yeah, I was just super excited to be in that. And then 2 years after that, I got a chance to show my work here in New York at Pratt, where I went to school. And I came back and then stayed, and I've pursued the same vision, being a photographer, professional photographer, while I am still doing my cultivating my conceptual work parallel to it, because I don't see a clear line between them. This is my life. This is what I do. And it's a curse and a blessing. I don't see things the same way, meaning maybe I don't enjoy things the same way, because I'm thinking like, maybe when I'm enjoying something and I'm like, I wish I would be like doing something with this, or maybe I am enjoying this because I think about how light affects what I'm seeing and how that is bouncing back to my eyes, and my brain is like telling me what this is. So I get into these deep conversations just because of that. So see, like, this is all a kind of like a lifestyle, I guess, if you want to call it that way. I don't know.
So what do you see? What are you seeing?
I think about everything that we know, mm-hmm. everything that is around us, mm-hmm. we can see it because the sun exists, right? Sorry. And I just think, like, this light is hitting this keyboard, and then this is bouncing off of there. This light, this information is bouncing off of there to my eyes, and that is photography. Constant light bouncing and drawing. That's it to me. And I guess in that way I get into that loop, and I don't know, it's beautiful.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful thing, and it's overwhelming too, definitely.
So some of your self-portraits, some of them are very bold, you know, they're naked, they're vulnerable. What is it about that? What is it about you as a subject? How can you separate yourself, or do you, or how does that work?
Yeah, it's been a really, it's like a long process of definition. And in all honesty, I hope I never define it. I found the other day in my house, when I went back to Puerto Rico in December, I found some like self-portraits in my bedroom when I was like 15 years old. But the conscious thing with self-portrait was when I came to New York for the first time, when I decided to come here and study at Pratt. It was an exercise at first to show, to illustrate what was my environment like and me in it to the people back home. Mami, papi, you know, mi amigo, my friends. So
did it help?
I think so. I think, yeah, they were, it helped to make it a real thing. This is happening. To criticarlo, make it like solid. So over the years, I think it's been like a process, like I said, like a process of like stages, I guess. So that first stage just was kind of like that. That went on for a while. And then that translated to me sort of like putting into images emotions that I was discovering as I was discovering them, I guess. Like falling in love for the first time in the most deep way, or feeling complete despair never felt despair before. I was like, fuck, I was like 22 years old, 21 maybe, feeling like homesick. I had never felt missing the, you know, extrañar, es verdad, nunca me había pasado. O extrañar a mi otra gente también, like miss other people. So, sexuality, like I definitely traced my sex being, like sexual being, through photographs because I was using my body. So I started really looking at my body. And I feel like it's sort of like it's not a diary, but it's diary like, mm-hmm. in a way.
It's a chronicle.
Chronicle like. That's a great word. I love that word, crónica.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. I mean, that is what I guess expression is about, right? Exploration.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're in your feelings, in the experience, and matching yourself, trying to see yourself from afar, but also being there.
Exactly. And then also, it was, I started doing things because I wanted them to be outside of me.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like, okay, so I feel this, and because I feel this, I did something with it, and now it gets to be live in this image, and I can see it, so now it's somewhat tangible. Or what, es una cosa como de verlo también, de also like work through some things too, you know.
So in that trajectory of doing self-portraits, you've also done portraits and spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll talk about Puerto Rico and what you're doing there. But how was the journey to finding these people that you began photographing?
And it just happens in a very organic way, like sort of like word of mouth, or they see my work, or through social media. You know, that's the positive aspect of social media in this sense, and also the positive aspect of showing your work on social media, because sometimes that's hard too. I think I've only shown maybe, I don't know, let's say 30% of my work out in social media. Because I don't like how images live in social media too. I'm a big deleter.
Mm-hmm.
But then people do come to me for this, so that's how it happens. And I never when I get approached like that, my favorite thing to do is always document people in their space, where they are, who they are. But some people have other ideas, and I also go with that because that's their vision. If there's something that's maybe like outside of something that I would actually want to do, then I just sort of like, but there's never been something like that. They are very pro in like my vision. So that's great. And I love working with people. I think it's awesome. It has all kinds of like learnings and experiences and lessons.
Mm.
So, and everything that I do, even doing real estate photography, that's like a non, like just kind of like a, that's still life, you know. It's not, or I'm just thinking about lines and light specifically when I'm doing that. Even that feeds everything that I do conceptually. So it's all kind of like a circle, or not a circle. That sounds so neat. More like
it all feeds into itself.
Sí, como un caldero ahí. Me junge. But it's great. Oh, you don't look Puerto Rican.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have a work, an entire series of this.
What is it called?
Oh, you don't look Puerto Rican.
Oh, you don't.
I'm using, it's sort of like a deconstructed kind of work. The first series that I did, I'm using the flag as kind of like a bikini. It's a Puerto Rican flag bikini that I bought in San Juan at gift shop. Uh-huh, yeah. And I'm using that as kind of like certificate of authenticity of everything Puerto Rican. And it's a series of self-portraits with this bikini. This is actually a good example for what you're asking me. I was never prepared. I was prepared for everything else. The cold, the weather, learning how to dress up for that, getting lost in the trains and the stuff, you know, and everything that New York is, I had like a general idea, but I never expected that aspect of when I came here. And I remember that so distinctly, like a taste in my mouth when somebody said to me, "Oh, you don't look Puerto Rican." When I I'm from Puerto Rico, you know, like from the island, and they were like, "But you don't look Puerto Rican." And I remember feeling like hot, like I never felt that in my life. I had never had to
explain myself.
And in Puerto Rico, you know, like there's a little bit like, "Ay, negrito, whatever, you la negrita," or you know, like, you know, we have a racy little like undercurrent to our, or overcurrent to our culture. Because yeah, of course, I have green eyes and lighter skin. But yeah, it was hardcore. It was kind of like a moment. And I remember that one time I was at a party. It was like a dorm party somewhere. And I didn't really address it. I was kind of like, "Yeah, well, I am. Okay." Like, okay. But it became a constant through the years of me like, "Okay, so this is going to happen to me here." Whatever that day was for me, that's how I was going to answer, you know, like, I would get mad. And then I just kind of like said, like, "I need to do something with this because I need to get it out of my system." And that's how that came about. I do feel more Puerto Rican than ever. Not because I have had to explain myself for the last 10 years, but because I've learned what it really means to be Puerto Rican outside of Puerto Rico. I've learned. I had no idea. I had no idea. And it has been a shocking process. And
what about it has been shocking?
Just the way that we are. So I think, first of all, I think that for anyone to feel comfortable around you, they need to sort of figure you out a little bit. Like, you get into these like check boxes with people. I guess I never really experienced that back home. Puerto Rico, we are kind of like a rainbow of people, and we are all in a culture, and we are who we are, and yeah, we do the things we do, but it's never been like, in the American culture, it's been very much like that, the experience for me. So this kind of like checking the box thing, that already to me is a little bit shocking. Mm-hmm. Learning what the check boxes are for Puerto Ricans, you know, according to American culture, North American culture, United States culture, through conversation, through seeing it, just out on the street, through reading about it, through TV, you know, like just everything you can think of. It was also kind of shocking because I don't see it that way. I never saw my culture that, like, I never saw my people that way. And I'm from Calle, you know? Yo soy super pueblo. So maybe I'm too pueblo for that, you know? And And I've had to sort of like made peace with it, like, because when I say I'm Puerto Rican here, they think that I was born here, but my grandmother was from Puerto Rico. Oh, like came here in like the 40s, 50s to live here. And that's how I am Puerto Rican, quote unquote. To learn from, you know, like, no, I need to say I am from Puerto Rico. That's how you're understanding it. So that's already like, it's like layers upon layers of identity that I've had to add. And you know what? I'm grateful for it. It's not a bad thing. It's just that it's been a constant process.
So last week when we were in the Chicapreneurs beautiful brunch.
Shout out.
Yeah, shout out to the Annies and Yarani and Michelle. You were, you know, so enthusiastic about some of the stuff that you're doing in Puerto Rico. Since Huracan Maria came to change all of our lives. Talk a little bit about those projects.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to pitch a story to the Village Voice about Hogar Nueva Mujer in my hometown in Calle. They are a women's shelter for domestic violence victims. And I know them through my mom. She was their lawyer for many years. I was there in December. I had the opportunity to go and visit 4 of their cases after Maria. It was one of the most moving experiences I've had as a photographer, if not the most moving experience. Also because I had not been to the island since the hurricane hit. And I had no idea what I was going to encounter, and it was definitely a lot. So there were these 4 cases, and like a woman, an older woman who lost all her stuff, all her, like things in her house, they're gone, and she had to like start from the beginning again, like so many people in Puerto Rico, so many older people in Puerto Rico who thought they were done, you know? Like, okay, we're good, we're an older age, we're retired, now we can, like, well, no, that's not happening for them. A woman who was moved from her home because her partner became very depressed and violent after he lost his job after the hurricane. Another woman who lived with her family in a school bus for months after the hurricane. And the shelter put her in a house, but that was just shocking. But, you know, actually, there were just 3. I feel like I'm forgetting one. Oh, no. There was another one. This is Emmanuel. Emmanuel is the LGBT coordinator at the shelter. And the mountain, he lives in Barranquitas, the mountain sucked his house in. So he left. He took his, like, to go to the pass his the hurricane with his family. When he came back, there was nothing. The pictures are ridiculous. Anyway, that ended up being the 4th case, and it was a very, very moving experience. And every single time I will confess that if I had the time, like a second to myself, like in the car or anything, I'd be like bawling my ass out because I had no idea. I had no idea how to, you know, process so much information in such little time. And, you know, I'm sure this is the reason maybe I'm not like a 100% photojournalist. Like, I feel like I do many things in photography, but I get very involved with people and like their stuff. So it was, like I said, moving and terrible, but it was also very good to see these people, these women, dando la batalla, you know, like just doing what has to be done. When I went there, the shelter was still operating in la planta eléctrica, like a generator. And they were giving services to the community. They had this like awesome laundry solidario, which was like the community came and they like washed, had like a laundry for everybody. They had like the kids, the art program, Empoderarte. That fucking turned me. I was like, I was so torn up. I'm like, yeah. The day that I went there, the kids were like writing down what they wanted 2018 to be, you know.
And what did they want it to be?
They're so cute, the pictures, like, and then they're holding up like their wishes and with 2018. And there was this little girl and she was like, she was just like super plain. She went like, I want mommy's love and lots of toys. That's it. Maybe they had, you know, maybe they had a lesson, these children going through the hurricane and losing, a lot of them losing their homes, you know. So it's been a very interesting thing to do. It has also opened doors for me to keep doing this work. I'm going back in now in March 1st, to work on other stories for them, to just keep the conversation going. Because, you know, we get through now with the internet, we get the morning news, we get the afternoon news, we get the night news, you know, like, we need to keep it going. So I feel, I guess my work has shifted a little bit towards this now, because this is what I want to look at. And actually, good things have come out of that article. Like, they're going to get interviewed by Vogue because they saw this article. So, and they, you know, they've gotten help. So, mira, lo que sea, I'm there, you know? Just the way that they have taken this, really. I've even heard, like, I have a friend, she lost everything. And she's like, you know what? I'm relieved. You know, there's no, and I'm sure not a lot of people feel relieved, you know, a lot of people feel very, very bad, and a lot of people, like what I said, like, I have my friends, I was just with them, Saimara and Isamar, their parents lost the entire thing. They went back, and they only had cuatro columna, four poles, that's it, that's what it was. So, and you know, and that's hard because these are older people that want it to be done. Mm-hmm. But they're resilient, you know, and this is such a like a heavy word when you think about it. But when you think about it, Puerto Rican culture, Puerto Rican history is a resilient history by definition. So we are only como solidificando, como solidifying our, that fact, you know? And also, I am very proud of, like, very small things. Like, very small, simple things. Like, the adjustments that keep on going, you know? The, now, what are we going to do and how we're going to make this better kind of thing. And above all, how we're going to do this on our own, you know? Because honestly, that's the most powerful thing that I've seen from all of this. Es la gente para la gente. Plain and simple.
And so what's next in the horizon You're going to do another piece for the Village Voice?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, two more, actually. It's about, we want to portray what's going on with the renewable energy efforts of the different independent organizations down there. Not all of them, but I'm going to try and get as much as possible represented at that moment, because there's a lot coming. And there's another I'm working on, like, just Puerto Ricans between, families of Puerto Ricans between now New York and Puerto Rico, what's going on with that. And this is all, like, just to clarify, I'm a photojournalist, you know, like, I'm just sort of, like, documenting, portraying this. So, yep. That's next in the immediate horizon. I am very excited to go home. I'll go to Puerto Rico and, like, do that. And yes, absolutely. I am excited.
So where do you think your open spirit comes from, that disposition that you have with life and towards life, and the fact that you welcome opportunity or you seek it? I don't know where you, it's like you're merging it. It's really kind of beautiful, but where does that sense of estoy aquí, voy para allá, y cómo es, y dale?
Exacto. Es que así exactamente lo acabas de describir. Yo creo que muy bien. O sea, yo siempre he sido como, o sea, it has always been a thing of, like, where am I best, the best in como investment of energy, I guess, you know? I think we're all of us, all human beings, we're tiny little bits of, like, energy. And we don't even know it. We have no idea. So I always try to pursue it that way and just think, like, whatever I put that into will hopefully bounce back, you know? I've had all kinds of projects. This is a new kind of, like, another thing. But I've had all kinds of projects that, of weird things, like what I was talking to you about, this Romance Tropical movie, like, that happened because I went into, like, a investigation loophole into looking for things. And then I kind of get obsessed with things, too. I'm a Scorpio, so this is sort of very me in that sense. So when something hits home and sort of, I guess, defines, like, chips a little bit at my identity, I get into it. And I'm like, I put, like, full-on gear into it.
Do you see yourself always as an artist or dedicating your life to the arts and to the...
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know what else to do. So I always want to put forward my energy towards artwork that also contributes in a way, because I care about history. I care about identity, and I care about how people perceive themselves through those things. So if I can make a little bit of tiny bit contribution in that, I'm okay, you know? And it also, in a deeper sense, I guess it also has to do with the fact that we're all mortals, and I know that I'm gonna die one day, and I'm like, okay, I gotta get to this. So yeah, I think
it's natural urgency.
It's a natural urgency, and it's not going anywhere. I'm pretty sure I will die this way.
I think so too. And I love it.
I hope so.
Congratulations. Thank you for talking to me.
Oh, thank you. I adore this, and I love it.
Thank you for listening to Notes from a Native Daughter. I am Soldanela. Catch me on Audioboom, iTunes, and notesfromanativedaughter.com.